5 FM, WBAI, New York.
This is the beginning of the tape. We're on mono, and we're on microphone one.
Arrested trying to bug the offices of the Democratic National Committee in Washington, turns out to be an employee of President Richard Nixon's re-election campaign committee. He is one of five persons surprised and arrested yesterday inside the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee in Washington.
That's what I'm here to tell you about tonight.
What are you doing here?
I'm the plumber. I'm just hanging around in case something goes wrong with our pipes.
The trial started today at the federal courthouse for the five burglars from breaking into the Democratic National Party headquarters.
John Dean, the ex-White House counsel, testified today that President Nixon knew about the Watergate cover-up.
At one point in the conversation, I recall the president telling me to keep a good list of the press people giving us trouble because we'll make life difficult for them after the election.
A Charles Colson plan to firebomb and burglarize the Brookings Institution and spying on Senator Kennedy and other Democrats.
The misuse of power is the very essence of tyranny. And consider, if you will, the frightening implications of that for a free society.
What did the president know? And when did he know it?
What exactly did President Trump know? When exactly did President Trump know?
And had I been running the country, it would never have happened.
It doesn't hurt me, yeah, yeah. Do you want to feel how it feels? Yeah, yeah. Do you want to know that it doesn't hurt me? Yeah, yeah. Do you want to hear about the deal that they can do? It's you.
President Trump said I had the right to overturn the election. President Trump is wrong.
You don't want to hurt me, yeah, yeah. See how deep the wound lies, yeah, yeah. Unaware and tearing you asunder, yeah, yeah. Oh, there is thunder in our hearts, yeah, yeah. Is there so much heat for the ones we love, yeah, yeah. Oh, tell me. It's you.
democracy belongs to the American people, and frankly, there is no idea more un-American than the notion that any one person could choose the American president.
Daniel has become the second in command of Babylon, a pagan nation that he completely faithfully serves. He refuses an order from the king that he cannot follow, and he does his duty in consistent with his oath to God.
States Constitution. I say this to my Republican colleagues who are defending the indefensible. There will come a day when Donald Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain.
Give him the shaft. Give him the shaft. Give him the shaft.
Give him the shaft.
Give him the shaft.
Give him the shaft.
You don't have Nixon to kick.
You don't have Nixon to kick around
anymore.
Just think how much you're going to be missing. Club. One of the few that I make. I lost the election. I lost the election. I lost the election.
Watergate is an episode that I deeply deplore, and had I been running the country, and particularly the foreign policy of this country this time, it would never have happened. But that's water under the bridge. It's gone now.
This is far worse than Watergate. Let's look at a couple aspects of it. First of all, Richard Nixon was a criminal president of the United States who undermined the electoral system in this country, just as Donald Trump has sought to undermine the electoral system in this country. But Trump has sought to do it in a much worse way. He tried to stage a coup so he would not leave office. He has told this big lie about what happened in the election. But more than that, we also have a situation in which we have in Trump the first seditious president of the United States. He has sought to bring about an insurrection to keep him in office. Whatever you say about Richard Nixon and his criminality, he left office peaceably. He allowed the peaceful transfer of power, which Trump hasn't when he staged his coup.
I, Gerald R. Ford, pursuant to the pardon power conferred upon me by Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, have granted a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon.
I'd like to promise and pledge that I will totally accept the results of this great presidential election if I win.
Money and love ain't no sure thing. You live for the thrill, you die for a dream. And when it comes around, lay your money down. You gotta love, that's a real long shot. Breaking the bank for your new weak spot. When she comes around, you lay your money down.
Ain't no
she comes around, you lay your money down.
United States, the people choose our representatives, including the highest official in the land, the President of the United States. The American people did this on November 3rd, 2020. But President Trump did not like the outcome. He did everything he could to change the result of the election.
Today, almost 2 years after that fateful day in January, 2021, that still Donald Trump and his allies and supporters are a clear and present danger to American democracy.
There's a guy selling baggies by a telephone pole to a dime bag girl who's gonna sell her soul on a corner around the corner from where her mama sits, waiting on a call she hopes she never gets. And there's a boy by a locker, white knuckles his bag, hoping that bully picks that other fag, hiding in the closet, playing pretend for a Sunday morning sermon, daddy preaching on sin. Same train, different track, different mama, same heart attack. Smile, shaking hands with a rat just across the aisle. You voted for the snake and I voted for the rat. They're rolling in the dough and we're fighting for the scraps, and it's the same crazy, different brain, different drug, same pain, same bottle, different food, different life, same old truth. Everybody got some kind.
for this radio and television time tonight for the purpose of announcing that we today have concluded an agreement to end the war and bring peace with honor in Vietnam.
As president, I took an oath to defend the Constitution, and I have no greater responsibility than to protect our people, our freedom, and our way of life.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
I just want to assure the American people that, one, I've got the authority to do this. Two, it is a necessary part of my job to protect you. And three, we're guarding your civil liberties. And we're guarding the civil liberties. The Patriot Act has accomplished exactly what it was designed to do.
You know, you see these bums, you know, blowing up the campuses, burning up the books, I mean, storming around about this issue. I mean, you name it, get rid of the war, there'll be another one.
The Patriot Act has accomplished exactly what it was designed to do.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow.
I'm more of a practical fella. I knew we were at a war. And I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
I'm gonna do it just one more time. You ain't seen nothing yet.
freeway in his eye. His beach just got too crowded for a stroll. Roads stretch out like healthy veins, and wild gift horses strain the reins, where even Richard Nixon has got soul.
Richard Nixon has got soul. That's Neil Young with Campaigner, about the lonely visitor who dropped in to cause a stir. And Nixon certainly did that. We're looking back at the 50th anniversary of the Watergate break-in back in the summer of 1972, before he was reelected, which inspired the Shortcuts and my career in cutting up Nixon and other people as he sat there gloating in the Oval Office about how he had tried not to divide the country and not to pull people apart. I heard something else and cut out those knots, and that became the first Shortcut back in November of 72. We looked back at some history repeating about 20 years ago with the Grapevine mix from Marvin Gaye featuring Nixon, George W. Bush, and Ronald Reagan. We heard from Howard Baker, What Did the President Know and When Did He Know It?, echoed by Liz Cheney from the January 6th hearings, as history is repeating and intensifying in terms of misconduct from the White House and from Congress. Brandy Clark with Brandy Carlile about the same devil. The Black Keys, It Ain't Over, featuring the former President Donald Trump, who still thinks he's president. Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon over Fantastic Negrito's They Go Low. Carl Bernstein comparing Watergate to what's going on now is worse than what Nixon did during Watergate. Give Him the Shaft from Richard Nixon and Orchestra. Kate Bush, who's having a revival from Stranger Things with Running Up That Hill, featuring Mike Pence, Greg Jacob, Liz Cheney, and others. And we opened up with some music from Blade Runner by the late Vangelis under John Wayne, Groucho Marx, John Dean, and David Frost with Richard Nixon. All mixed up, Peter Beauchamp, glad you tuned in. Lots more to get to, including a lot of people feeling the Watergate blues. But first, let's hear a shortcut to the simple truth.
No doubt there are some among you who will doubt the truth of what I'm about to say, or doubt the reality of what you're about to see.
But believe me, my friends, this is no fake.
On May 22nd, I stated in very specific terms, and I state again to every one of you listening tonight, these facts. I had prior knowledge of the Watergate break-in. That was, and that is, the simple truth.
Watergate is an episode that I deeply deplore, and had I been running the country, and particularly the foreign policy of this country this time, it would never have happened. But that's water under the bridge. It's gone now.
We are all continually involved with the editing of reality.
But also that the public, you, have total confidence that they are being observed by those in authority, and particularly by the President of the United States.
He's crazy.
Might as well tell you that the last part of that story is not true, but I had to say that because the first part of it was a lie.
I would rather be a one-term president and do what I believe was right than to be a two-term president at the cost of seeing America become a second-rate power.
Gun bait. That's what the world is full of. That's what it's based on. That's what this economy is based on.
That was, and that is, the simple truth.
Are you telling me that you don't see the connection between government and laughing at people?
Boys, don't never, but never, make fun of no cripples.
Because I
Anybody gets funny with Merck, it's funny with me, see?
Somebody come up and giggle at you. That's a violation of your civil rights.
Trusted.
Listen to the alabaster. The poor dears. The poor so-and-sos. What do you think I've been doing all my life? Playing tiddlywinks with little Freddy's color pops. More brandy, Professor. And help yourselves. Let's get stinking.
Well, you know, Professor, I could go on like this, drifting and dreaming forever. What a day. Spring in the air.
Oh, me? I should spring in the air and fall on the lake?
Oh, Professor, you're full of whimsy.
Can you notice it from there? I'm always that way after I eat radishes.
Far from trying to discover the facts, I relied on the best law enforcement agencies in the country to hide the facts. My effort throughout has been to hide the facts. On May 22nd, I stated in very specific terms, and I state again to every one of you listening tonight, these facts. I had prior knowledge of the Watergate break-in. That was, and that is, the simple truth. I took part in an illegal or improper campaign tactics. That was, and that is, the simple truth.
Shortcuts.
We are all continually involved with the editing of reality.
Shortcuts. Shortcuts.
Hey, everybody, have you heard the news? The folks at the White House got the Watergate blues. Don't do us wrong. If you do, don't make no mistake. God walking it be checking all the dough. Found a little piece of tape. they'll blow the whistle on you. Just like we did the Watergate.
President, to try and review your account of Watergate in one program is a daunting task, but we'll press first of all through the sort of factual record and the sequence of events as concisely as we can to begin with. But just one brief preliminary question. Reviewing now your conduct over the whole of the Watergate period, with the additional perspective now, 3 years out of office and so on, do you feel that you ever obstructed justice or were part of a conspiracy to obstruct justice?
Well, in answer to that question, I think that the best procedure would be for us to do exactly what you're going to do in this program, to go through the whole record in which I will say what I did, what my motives were, then I will give you my evaluation as to whether those actions or anything I said, for that matter, amounted to what you have called an obstruction of justice. I will express an opinion on it, but I think what we should do is to go over the whole matter, so that our viewers will have an opportunity to know what we are talking about.
I'm very happy to do that, because I think the only way really to examine all of these events is on a blow-by-blow account of what occurred. So beginning with June 20 then, what did Haldeman tell you during the 18 and a half minute gap?
Haldeman's notes are the only recollection I have of what he told me. Haldeman was a very good note taker, because of course we've had other opportunities to look at his notes, and he was making the notes for my presidential files. The notes indicated
PR offensive.
That's right. Of course, the
diversion.
Notes. Well, you've asked me what it was. My recollection was that the notes check the EOB to see whether or not it's bugged. Obviously, I was concerned about whether or not the other side was bugging us. I went on to say, let's get a public relations offensive on what the other side is doing in this area and so forth.
McGovern said, boys, I think I'm gonna run. Got a lot of work to be done in Washington. He talked to the poor folks, the blacks and the youth. Humphrey said, George, I think you're gonna lose. He said, I want that job myself. Well, there was Kennedy and Wallace and Muskie in mind. McGovern couldn't seem to get his ducks all in line. Somebody shot Wallace and Jack.
accent he tried. Must he might have made it, but he broke down and cried. I'll tell you, boys, it's a hard life. But down in Miami, McGovern got it all. A strange-looking bunch of folks inside Convention Hall. McGovern said, I need someone to carry the South. They picked poor Tom Eagleton, but folks found him out. That liberal press, they gotta know it all. Well, McGovern took Shriver and he started to run. Sarge said, units, let's have a little fun. They ran into trouble almost everywhere they went. There was a big committee to elect the president. I'll tell you now, they were a smooth group. Well, they broke into Watergate and tapped people's phones. The FBI and CIA would not leave folks alone. The people in the White House were bursting with pride. When the votes were all counted, it was a big landslide. The USA bought a new used car. Russia and Vietnam and China were cool. The American press, they could not find any news. So they dug into Watergate, and the further they went, it seemed as if they might just run into the president. You know, it was a big shock. Well, there was Haldeman and Gray and Mitchell and Dean. A whole lot of folks were shaking on the White House scene. They patched up the cracks, but the dam broke loose. Watergate was all you could read in the news. And Dickie said, well, it's news to me. But that's Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Truman and Ike, all turning over in their graves every night. Somehow my mind goes back to Betsy Ross. Nobody knows what this country has lost. I will repeat, it's a hard life. Well, somewhere in this country there's a hard-working man reading his paper as he tries to understand. Are there no honest people left anymore? One night will he hear a pound on his door. If it gets that way, Lord, help us all.
And so tonight, to you, the great silent majority of my fellow Americans, I ask for your support.
Well, I went out to 7:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Trying to get my gas ticket straight.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get a 3 gallon gas, beat your. You know this is Watergate every time I look at my TV. I can't see a thing, help but Watergate. Go lay. Said, no, in my home, I can't got nothing but Watergate every time I look at my TV. Can't a thing but Watergate.
Yeah, no.
Well, I'd be so glad to pay the Carter. Well, no, I'll get every dog and thing straight. Leave President Nixon alone. Let him leave long with California and go back to his mansion home. Every time I get my TV, get a thing but Watergate. I'll be so glad with President Carter. Get him a dog on things straight.
Anything else?
Yeah. Except you won't believe this. Elvis Presley dropped this letter off to you. He would like to meet with you and be made a federal agent at large.
Do we have such a thing?
No. Now, Dwight and Bud recommended that you meet with him, but I think...
You did it, Bob.
Sir?
This is just what I've been looking for. Elvis Presley. A rock and roll hero to millions wants to help with our anti-drug crusade. Well, this will go a lot farther with the kids than the Art Linkletter. Not to denigrate his help, but
This is just what I need to help me change my image with the kids. Something unexpected, like the Duke did.
The Duke of Windsor?
John Wayne. Now, take True Grit. Everything about the Duke is very macho, right? Hemingway-esque. So what did he do? Well, he took off his girdle. He changed his toupee. He put on an eye patch. And presto, he wins an Oscar. That is what I need to do.
Win an Oscar?
No, no. Surprise people. And let the kids know it's groovy. Delight me.
Okay, maybe. If you were meeting with Bob Dylan or John Lennon, but Elvis plays Vegas.
No, this like... is no time for your negative.
Sammy...
You just make sure Ollie has plenty Elvis. Of film in the camera.
Junior. Yes, sir.
Elvis. Elvis.
Don't want to be involved in this, man. This is gonna be a blues number.
Yeah.
But first I wanna do a little bit of background on the blues and say what it is. Like there are six cardinal colors and colors have always come to signify more than simply that particular shade, like redneck or got the blues. That's where you apply colors to something else, you know, to come up with what it is you're trying to say. So there are six cardinal colors, yellow, red, orange, green, blue, and purple. And there are 3,000 shades. And if you take these 3,000 shades and divide them by six, you'll come up with 500.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning there are at least 500 shades of the blues. For example, there's the I ain't got me no money blues. There is the I ain't got me no woman blues. There's the I ain't got me no money and I ain't got me no woman, which is the double blues. And for years it was thought that black people was the only one who could get the blues, so the blues hadn't come into no international type of fame. But lately we done had Frank Rizzo with the lie detector blues. We done had the United States government talking about the energy crisis blues. And we're gonna dedicate this next poem here to Spearhead X, the X second in command in terms of this country. And the poem is called H2O GATE Blues. And if H2O is still water and GATE is still gate, what we're getting ready to deal on is the Watergate Blues. Let me see if I can dial this number right quick. Click. Brrr, click. Woo! I'm sorry. The government you have elected is inoperative. Click.
Got it.
Inoperative. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plot and still could not. Let me do that part again. Just how blind will America be?
Ain't no telling.
The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plot and claimed that we could not. Just how blind, America? Just as Vietnam exploded in the rice, snap, crackle, and pop could not stop people determined to be free. Just how blind will America be? The shock of a Vietnam defeat sent Republican donkeys scurrying down on Wall Street. And when the roll was called, it was Pepsi Cola and Phillips 66, Boeing, Dow, and Lockheed. Ask them what they're fighting for, and they'll never mention the economics of war. Ecological warfare, above all else, destroy the land. If we can't break the Asian will, we'll bomb the dikes and starve the man. America, the international Jekyll and Hyde, the land of a thousand disguises, sneaks up on you but rarely surprises. Plundering the Asian countryside in the name of Fu Manchu. Afraid of shoeless, undernourished Cambodians, while we strike big wheat bargains with Russia, our nuclear enemy. Just how blind, America? But tell me, who was around where Hale Boggs died? And what was the cause of LBJ's untimely demise? And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover, the king is proud of Patrick Gray. While America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. Yeah. How long will the citizens sit and wait? It's looking like Europe in 38. Did they move to stop Hitler before it was too late? How long, America, before the consequences of keeping the school system segregated, allowing the press to be intimidated, watching the price of everything soar, and hearing complaints because the rich want more? It seems that Macbeth and not his lady went mad. We've let him eliminate the whole middle class. The dollar's the only thing we can't inflate while the poor go on without a new minimum wage. But what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray. And there are those who say America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How much more evidence do the citizens need that the election was sabotaged by trickery and greed? And if this is so, and who we got didn't win, let's do the whole goddamn election over again. Yeah. The obvious key to the whole charade would be to run down all of the games they played. Remember Dieter Beard and ITT, the slaughter of Attica, the CIA in Chile, knowing nothing about Allende at this time in the past, as I recollect, deserting the sinking White House ship and their main mindless megalomaniac Ahab. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. And what are we left with now? Bumper stickers that say Free the Watergate 500. Spy movies of the same name with a cast of thousands. And that ominous phrase that if Nixon knew, Ag knew. But Ag didn't knew enough to stay out of jail. And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray. And there are those who swear they've seen King Richard. 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 Beneath that cesspool. Watergate. Four more years of that.
Go, Nixon.
Bender, you can't even vote. You're a convicted felon.
Convicted, sentenced, and executed. But Nixon passed a law that says ex-cons can vote again, as long as they vote for Nixon.
But Nixon's the worst president in history, and alternate history. The rest of you aren't voting for him, are you?
Sure we are.
Yeah.
He may not be perfect, but do we really want some unknown new guy? I'll stick with the evil maniac I know, thank you.
Stand up. Strike the band up. Who's left in this land up? Yes, Nix is a one to go. We'll shout it. The world's gonna shout it. There's no doubt about it. Yes, Nix is the one to go. Will Nixon. Remember Dick Nixon, the man who is fixing to lead us to win if 6 feet can do. Americans can do with the man who knows how to. Yes, Nix is the land up. Yes, Nix is the one. to. Yes, Nixon's the one to go with. I said, Jay Nixon, with you, me, Nixon. Ah, yes, Jay Nixon's the one.
My fellow Earthicans, I'm proud to announce I'm running for re-election as President of Earth, the greatest planet in the world.
Yeah!
All right, listen up, nitwits. Who here is tired of illegal space aliens taking our good Earth jobs?
Yeah!
Me too. So, if I'm re-elected, I promise to build a really big Dyson fence across the southern border of our solar system.
Yeah!
Why do I feel so deeply? Why do I feel that in spite of the smears, the misunderstanding, the necessity for a man to come up here and bare his soul as I have, why is it necessary for me to continue this fight? And I want to tell you why.
Because he looks so fine up on that hill. They tell me he was lonely, he's lonely still. Those days are gone forever, over a long time ago.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body.
Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better because I'm over you. I learned my lesson and left a scar. Now I see how you really are.
He thought the life had gone from his life forever, but he went on. And he not only became president, but as an ex-president, he served his country, always in the arena, tempestuous, strong, sometimes wrong, sometimes right. But he was a man. And as I leave, let me say, that's an example I think all of us should remember.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
From a shortcut through 1974, that's Gerald Ford announcing that our long national nightmare was over, at least momentarily. Paul McCartney and Wings, Take Me Back from Junior's Farm, Steely Dan, and Pretzel Logic. Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson with the Watergate Blues. Also feeling the Watergate Blues was Tom T. Hall, Big Joe Williams, and Howlin' Wolf. We heard David Frost and Richard Nixon, the cast from Futurama, and the return of Nixon in whatever century they're in. John Lennon, Gimme Some Truth, coming out of A Shortcut to the Simple Truth. All mixed up, Peter Beauchamp, glad you tuned in. Coming up, we'll hear the very first shortcut. WBAI in New York City, become a BAI buddy. Go to the WBAI.org website, become a BAI buddy and say WBAI means a lot, and All Mixed Up is my favorite show. You can write to me at mixedup@pipeline.com or check out the playlist at mixedup.com.
Practically every one of the top 40 records being played on every radio station in the United States is a communication to the children to take a trip, to cop out, to groove.
I don't like to see those principles violated.
Now tell us, Ms. Hensley, whom did you bring?
Well, I brought a young girl from Virginia.
From Winchester?
That's right. Huh? And tonight she's going to do her next release that will be out the 26th.
What's the name of her song?
I can feel your heart beating. I like WBAI. Never heard a sound so sweet. WBAI.
In New York City.
That's a cute title.
I tried to conduct myself in this campaign in a way that would divide our country, divide it regionally or by parties or in any other way, because I very firmly believe in those things which divide us.
And I think you know from all that I have said and done these past 3.5 years how much I too want to end the war.
Seen it all, I have. Rape, intercourse, physical pleasure.
All this stuff you heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight.
You're not mystical at all.
Sometimes I do worry.
What do you mean?
Everything's changing so. It's hard to know what to trust anymore.
You want peace. I want peace.
That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Because the very thought of losing is hateful to America.
Tried to kill myself with gas.
Yes?
People are feeling very much better.
It is at my sister's, Eddie and Abby. Knock on door, milkman.
Yes, it's the link.
We heard Richard Nixon say, "Welcome to the USA." The common sense I sometimes lack has opened up a seismic crack. We've fallen in and I can't pull back. And I guess we'll have to stay. In open arms we put our trust. They put us on a big red bus. Twin spirits soaking up a dream. Fuel to feed the press machine. After years that were long and lame, we're finally on our way. Richard Nixon's on his knees. He sent so many overseas. He'd like to know if you and me could help him in some way. A little camouflage and caused by two male kids come to play. And we heard Richard Nixon say, "Welcome to the USA."
sunset, I saw Steve McQueen. I guess he's just about the coolest guy I've ever seen. And for you and me, that speeding car is how it's gonna be. I see no brakes, just open road, lots of gasoline. Oh, we heard Richard Nixon say,
now that most of the major witnesses in the Watergate phase of the Senate committee hearings on campaign practices have been heard, the time has come for me to speak out about the charges made and to provide a perspective on the issue for the American people.
My fellow Americans, I come before you tonight as a man whose honesty and integrity has been questioned. Now, the usual political thing to do when charges are made against you is to either ignore them or to deny them without giving details. I believe we've had enough of that in the United States, particularly with the present administration in Washington, D.C.
It's hard to tell if they're lying by watching them on TV because a lot of these guys, you know, in one sense of the word, are professional liars.
I have a theory, too, that the best and only answer to a smear or to an honest misunderstanding of the facts is to tell the truth. That's why I'm here tonight. I want to tell you my side of the case.
Tonight, let me explain to you what I did about Watergate after the break-in occurred.
Seemed the better way. When first I heard him speak. Now it's much too late to turn the other cheek. Sounded like the truth. Seemed the better way. Sounded like the truth. But it's not the truth today. I'd better hold my tongue. I better take my place. Lift this glass of blood. Try to say the grace.
Let me turn now to an issue that is important above all else, and that is critically affecting your life today.
First of all, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, and members of the committee, I sincerely wish I could say it's my pleasure to be here today, but I think you can understand why it's not.
Last June 17, while I was in Florida trying to get a few days' rest after my visit to Moscow, I first learned from news reports of the Watergate break-in.
When I came down from Camp David, there was no doubt in my mind that I wasn't going to play the cover-up game.
And there's some that will say, well, maybe you were able to fake this thing. How can we believe what you said?
I brought myself down. I gave them a sword. And they stuck it in, and they twisted it with relish. And I guess if I had been in their position, I'd have done the same thing.
I've been down since I began to trying to crawl. If it wasn't for my dog, I wouldn't have no luck at all.
Tonight, let me explain to you what I did about Watergate after the break-in occurred, so that you can better understand the fact that I also had knowledge of the so-called cover-up.
My reduced are intercepted. Screen cleared.
Shortcuts.
Can't get us back live. I just have to sit here and watch this Roman pot boner.
We're on. I just saw myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Hey, well, listen, good. Then I can...
Let me turn now to an issue that is important above all else and that is critically affecting your life today. Always be suspect from now on.
How high is the Watergate, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the Watergate, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. There's a tap on the window pane. Jerry Ford must be insane. Looks like a job for Mickey Spillane. 2 feet high and rising. How high is the Watergate, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. The Watergate, Papa, she said, is 3 feet high and rising. In the Swiss banks, the money's stashed. 18 minutes of tapes are slashed. They've even taken in Johnny Cash. 3 feet high and rising. How high is the Watergate, Mama? 4 feet high and rising. The Watergate, Papa, she said it's 4 feet high and rising. Nixon doesn't talk, he lies, and a face that screams out for a pie. The only one working is David Fry. 4 feet high and rising. How high is the Watergate, Mama? 5 feet high and rising. How high is the Watergate, Papa? She said it's 5 feet high and rising. If there ever was a crook, he's it. Perversion is the soul of wit. Past a shovel, he's full of it. 5 feet high and rising. Well, it's 5 feet high and rising.
Well, I still repeat what I said early in the... my interrogation of you, I think you have strengthened my faith in the old adage that an honest man is the noblest work of God. And I'll also meditate for a moment on the old poetic saying that what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
Take the problem of corruption. You read about the mess in Washington. You wouldn't trust the man who made the mess to clean it up. And by the same token, you can't trust the man who was picked for the man that made the mess to clean it up.
Sounds like a lot of supernatural baloney to me.
Supernatural, perhaps. Baloney, perhaps not.
Well, Mr. Mitchell, if this was the kind of plan as you described and has been described this way by other witnesses before this committee, and since you were the Attorney General of the United States, why didn't you throw Mr. Liddy out of your office?
Well, I think, Mr. Dash, in hindsight, I not only should have thrown him out of the office, I should have thrown him out of the window.
Well, since you did neither...
Okay.
President. Go ahead, Gary.
Did at any time during the Watergate crisis, did you ever consider resigning? And would you consider resigning if you felt that your capacity to govern had been seriously weakened? And in that connection, how much do you think your capacity to govern has been weakened?
The answer to the first two questions is no. The answer to the third question is that it is true that as far as the capacity to govern is concerned, that to be under a constant barrage, 12 to 15 minutes a night on each of the three major networks for 4 months, tends to raise some questions in the people's mind with regard to the president, and it may raise some questions with regard to the capacity to govern.
They were all after him, the Russians, the British, the Americans. He had one last chance to stay alive.
In recent months, members of my administration and officials of the Committee for the Re-election of the President, including some of my closest friends and most trusted aides, have been charged with involvement in what has come to be known as the Watergate affair.
What if I told you this whole operation is strictly according to law?
Then I'd say the law needs revision.
Who are you, the government?
Of course.
Since when?
Since 1979, right?
Right.
You recall the use of charts and showing collaboration? I recall the use of charts because this is where the lines were all crossing with the authority, etc., etc.
What do you think you've got, Paul?
A connection between Harry's combine and the congressman's amendment.
All right, but why single us out to make a fuss over it?
Yeah, why?
Harry's guilty.
Don't turn your back on anyone. In this business, there are no innocent bystanders.
What we're doing is not common. It's done every day.
Done every day, that's right. For all I know, there's an undiscovered murder committed every day. And what does that prove? All this undercover pressure, this bribery, corruption, government between friends.
Sure, it goes on all the time and it's tough to crack. Just ask me, I've tried for years. You need more than knowing about it. You gotta have facts and figures. And most important, the names.
He's got him.
Do you recall any of the code names that we used? No, I can't, Mr. Dash. The matter was of such a striking content and concept that it just was beyond the pale.
I would rather be a one-term president and do what I believe was right than to be a two-term president at the cost of seeing America become a second-rate power.
Of course, whatever a president does is in the field of his property is public knowledge, and questions of that sort I do not resent at all. I do resent, I might say, the implications, however, first that whether at Key Biscayne or in San Clemente, my private property was enriched because of what the government did. As a matter of fact, what the government did at San Clemente reduced the value of the property.
I own a 1950 Oldsmobile car. We have our furniture. We have no stocks and bonds of any type. We have no interest of any kind, direct or indirect, in any business.
I own no stocks and no bonds. I think I am the first president in this office since Harry Truman. I don't own a stock or a bond. I sold everything before I came into office. All that I have are the two pieces of property in Florida which adjoin each other, the piece of property in San Clemente with which you were familiar, and a house in Whittier Boulevard in which my mother once lived.
And when we came out, the total of our savings from both my law practice, her teaching, and all the time that I was in the war, the total for that entire period was just a little less than $10,000. Every cent of that, incidentally, was in government bonds.
Might as well tell you that the last part of that story is not true, but I had to say that because the first part of it was a lie.
But then I realized that there are still some who may say, and rightfully so, and let me say that I recognize that some will continue to smear, regardless of what the truth may be, but that there has been, understandably, some honest misunderstanding on this matter.
Whatever may appear to have been the case before, whatever improper activities may yet be discovered in connection with this whole sordid affair, I want the American people, I want you, to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that during my term as president, justice will be pursued fairly, fully, and impartially, no matter who's involved. This office is a sacred trust, and I am determined to be worthy of that trust. Looking back at the history of this case, two questions arise. How could it have happened? Who is to blame? Political commentators have correctly observed that during my 27 years in politics, I've always previously insisted on running my own campaigns for office. But 1972 presented a very different situation in both domestic and foreign policy. 1972 was a year of crucially important decisions, of intense negotiations, of vital new directions, particularly in working toward the goal which has been my overriding concern throughout my political career, the goal of bringing peace to America.
And I think you know from all that I have said and done these past 3.5 years how much I too want to end the war.
The recent congressional hearings have shown that the government has no way of stopping itself from lying.
Well, I think it shows that there's a lot of corruption.
Why can't we have prosperity and an honest government in Washington, D.C. at the same time? Believe me, we can.
Well, I think he's going to have to resign sooner or later. Because it seems as if he's been proven guilty, you know. It seems as if, like, he has no choice but to resign.
There are a great number of people in this country that would prefer that I do resign. There are a great number of people in this country that didn't accept the mandate of 1972. After all, I know that most of the members of the press corps were not enthusiastic, and I understand that about either my election in 68 or 72. That's not unusual. Frankly, if I had always followed what the press predicted or the polls predicted, I would have never been elected president.
And just let me say this. I don't believe that I ought to quit because I'm not a quitter. And incidentally, Pat's not a quitter. After all, her name was Patricia Ryan, and she was born on St. Patrick's Day, and you know the Irish never quit.
What are my plans? Well, my plans are to go home. I want to get acquainted with my family again. My plans, incidentally, are, from a political standpoint, of course, to take a holiday. It will be a long holiday.
Why do I feel so deep? Why do I feel that in spite of the smears, the misunderstanding, the necessity for a man to come up here and bare his soul as I have, why is it necessary for me to continue this fight? And I want to tell you why. Because, you see, I love my country. And I think my country is in danger.
Woody Richard, he was always hanging around. Woody Richard was the biggest square in town. Woody Richard, he was always on the scene. Fly by Woody Richard.
incidentally, as I said before, I have not engaged in any legal practice, and I want you to know the fact.
Sound barrier on that one.
Hey, we got a great show coming your way today. Former Vice President Richard Nixon's in town. That's right. The Big Dick is here. Get ready.
I think there's an incredible coincidence here. I think he sounds exactly like Mr. Ed. You be the judge.
I tell you this. Now listen. Wilbur, come in the room.
An incredible coincidence.
I remember my old man. I think that they would have called him sort of a little man. Common man.
My, how time flies. Just look at this. It's time once again for
Shortcuts.
Ladies and gentlemen, has this ever happened to you?
First of all, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, and members of the committee, I sincerely wish I could say it's my pleasure to be here today, but I think you can understand why it's not.
Watergate is an episode that I deeply deplore, and had I been running the country, and particularly the foreign policy of this country this time, it would never have happened. But that's water under the bridge. It's gone now. The point that I make now is that we are proceeding, as best we know how, to get all those guilty brought to justice in Watergate. And when you say, do I consider resigning? The answer is no, I shall not resign. I have 3.5 years to go, or almost 3.5 years, and I'm going to use every day of those 3.5 years.
I used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob.
I had no personal motivation to cover up anything because I had no personal involvement, and I knew the president had no involvement.
Last June 17, while I was in Florida trying to get a few days rest after my visit to Moscow, I first learned from news reports of the Watergate break-in.
The so-called cover-up really did not become evident to me until I got into this thing full steam the end of March of this year.
Mr. President, do you still consider Haldeman and Ehrlichman two of the finest public servants you have ever known?
I certainly do. Have served with great distinction, with great dedication, and like everybody in this deplorable Watergate business, at great personal sacrifice and with no personal gain. We admit the scandalous conduct. Thank God there's been no personal gain involved. That would be going much too far, I suppose.
I've been in public life for more than a quarter of a century. Like any other calling, politics has good people and bad people. And let me tell you, the great majority in politics, in the Congress, in the federal government, in the state government, are people. Two wrongs do not make a right. There can be no whitewash at the White House. Two wrongs do not make a right. There can be no whitewash at the White House. I've been in public life for more than a quarter of a century. Two wrongs do not make a right.
I tried to conduct myself in this campaign in a way that would divide our country, divide it regionally or by parties or in any other way. Because I very firmly believe in those things which divide us.
Two wrongs do not make a right.
Watergate is an episode that I deeply deplore. And had I been running the country, and particularly the foreign policy of this country this time, it would never have happened. But that's water under the bridge. It's gone now.
I've been in public life for more than a quarter of a century. Like any other calling, politics has good people and bad people. Let me tell you, the great majority in politics, in the Congress, in the federal government, in the state government, are people. Two wrongs do not make a right. There can be no whitewash at the White House. Two wrongs do not make a right. There can be no whitewash at the White House. I've been in public life for more than a quarter of a century. Two wrongs do not make a right.
About Watergate, about its stupidity, its illegality, about the fact that it has done great damage to the political processes of this country. And those who are responsible for it must be punished, no question about it.
We are doing everything that we think should be done and that can be done, and that's as far as I will go in terms of indicating what that situation would be. I mean, if I were to try to, I would be misleading the public, the people.
I feel let down that as a member of the Judiciary Committee, I was in a position of having to do battle and not have all the evidence.
We asked, and I did, for direct evidence, and he gave it to us. He's admitted it, and there isn't any way you can defend an admission of that type.
There can be no whitewash at the White House.
The principle that no person, whether he be rich or poor, black or white, ordinary citizen or president, is above the law. Cover-up of criminal activity and misuse of federal agencies
can neither be condoned nor tolerated. And as long as we adhere as a nation to this principle, our nation will remain great and strong.
Why do I feel so deeply? Why do I feel that in spite of the smears, the misunderstanding, the necessity for a man to come up here and bear his soul as I have, why is it necessary for me to continue this fight? And I want to tell you why. Because, you see, I love my country. And I think my country is in danger.
Is there anybody here so damn dumb that thinks that could go on for four more years?
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
There are a great number of people in this country that would prefer that I do resign. There are a great number of people in this country that didn't accept the mandate of 1972. After all, I know that most of the members of the press corps were not enthusiastic, and I understand that about either my election in 68 or 72. That's not unusual. Frankly, if I had always followed what the press predicted or the polls predicted, I would have never been elected president. And just let me say this. I don't believe that I ought to quit, because I'm not a quitter. And incidentally, Pat's not a quitter. After all, her name was Patricia Ryan, and she was born on St. Patrick's Day, and you know the Irish never quit.
What are my plans? Well, my plans are to go home. I want to get acquainted with my family again. And my plans, incidentally, are, from a political standpoint, of course, to take a holiday. It will be a long holiday.
Why do I feel so deeply? Why do I feel that in spite of the smears, the misunderstanding, the necessity for a man to come up here and bear his soul as I have, why is it necessary for me to continue this fight? And I want to tell you why.
I was elected to do a job trying to get the people of the United States to recognize that whatever mistakes we have made, that in the long run, this administration, by making this world safer for their children, and this administration, by making their lives better at home for themselves and their children, deserves high marks rather than low marks. Now, whether I succeed or not, we can judge then.
How do you feel history will judge the Nixon presidency?
Mixed. In the field of foreign affairs, it will be judged well. In the field of domestic affairs, I think poorly. But in the matter of the conduct of the office, particularly in these recent months, I think it will be judged harshly.
It is not our duty to attempt to assess whether Mr. Nixon committed common crimes. That is a determination which must ultimately rest elsewhere. In my own case, my decision has been made. I have concluded, after careful consideration of all the evidence, that President Nixon must be impeached and removed from office.
I now have completed that last gap that I said I would do. If the evidence were available, it is available. So I am prepared to vote to impeach.
My fellow Americans, I come before you tonight as a man whose honesty and integrity has been questioned. Now, the usual political thing to do when charges are made against you is to either ignore them or to deny them without giving details. I believe we've had enough of that in the United States, particularly with the present administration in Washington, D.C.
I believe the nation needs relief from this tremendous tension under which it has been for the last year and a half. There's a need of getting our country back together again, getting on with the business of government. There are tremendous problems facing us. The nation needs to be brought back together. We've simply got to get ourselves, restore our sense of confidence and restore trust in government.
Why can't we have prosperity and an honest government in Washington, D.C. at the same time? Believe me, we can.
I think all of us were brought up under our system to believe that the law applies to the mighty as well as to the humble, to the rich as well as the poor, and that one's status in society should not be the test of immunity.
I think he's going to have to resign sooner or later because it seems as if he's been proven guilty. You know, it seems as if like he has no choice but to resign.
There are a great number of people in this country that would prefer that I do resign.
Don't try to patch it up.
Tear it up, tear it up.
Wash him out, dry him out.
Push him out, fly him out.
Cancel him and let him go.
Yay, sister.
I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair.
I'm going to wash.
If a man don't understand you, if you fly on separate beams, waste no time, make a change, ride that man right off your range.
Let me make this one point. Some public men are destined to be loved, and other public men are destined to be disliked. But the most important thing about a public man is not whether he's loved or disliked, but whether he's respected. And I hope to restore respect to the presidency.
Drop him out of the roll call and drum him out of your dream.
Oh-oh. Forget it. If that's what they want in a president, I'm not the man.
Drop him out of the roll call and drum him out of your dreams. You can't light a fire when the wood's all wet.
No.
You can't make a butterfly strong.
Unhappy MacNam.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce you to
illegal character in line.
Rubber.
Go away.
What's happening?
I'm sorry. This ride is closed.
This ride is
exit
closed.
Exit center
now.
To
I've been waiting for 10 minutes from here to listen to the president talk to me. What's happening? I think he broke the power off. He broke the president.
In the beginning, I asked you to pray for me. Before closing, I ask again your prayers.
In the back of my mind, I guess I always knew something like this could happen, although I had no reason to think it would.
Whatever may appear to have been the case before, whatever improper activities may yet be discovered in connection with this whole sordid affair, I want the American people, I want you, to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that during my term as president, justice will be pursued fairly, fully, and impartially.
I will not place the blame on subordinates, on people whose zeal exceeded their judgment, and who may have done wrong in a cause they deeply believe to be right. In any organization, the man at the top must bear the responsibility. That responsibility, therefore, belongs here.
I think there's a misapprehension that presidents are never told the facts. I don't think that's true. I think a president gets more bad news than anyone. And most of my day was spent telling me what's gone wrong the day before.
Oh, I've been through an awful time. Awful.
So I see. Poor old boy. I can't get over it. Come and sit down.
Much has happened to me.
Oh, I know. I know.
I need help.
Honestly, I should have thought at your age and after all you've been through...
Oh, I cannot bear the loneliness. Not having anybody. I should go mad.
I'm not his advisor. In fact, I can't recall having been asked for advice on any of this matter. But if he should resign, it would, of course, bring a big sigh of relief up here on the Hill.
I have never been a quitter.
To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad, to continue to fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the president and the Congress in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issues of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
Now don't get up, gentlemen, please. I'm not feeling too well. What I have to say won't take long. How do we all, Stuart? I know some of you are perhaps a little afraid of me. Well, I'm not that terrible. I have a wife and a child and a dog. They're rather fond of me. Even the dog doesn't think I'm a monster. Perhaps certain things happen today. Well, as I always say, a command is a lonely job. It isn't easy to make decisions. Sometimes the captain of a ship needs help, and by help I mean constructive loyalty. What I'm trying to say is a ship is like a family. We all have our ideas of right and wrong, but we have to pitch in for the good of the family. If there was only some way we could help each other. If there's anything any of you would like to say, I mean, I'll be glad to listen. Well, I've spoken my piece. I only hope it registers. Don't get up, please. Yeah, the pharmacist may send up some more aspirin. My headache's much worse.
Yes, sir.
This is what is known in literature as the pregnant pause.
The party's over. It's time to call. It's all over.
Shortcuts was produced by Peter Beauchamp in New York City.
As I leave you, I want you to know, just think how much you're going to be missing. You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
Sing a song for the wrong and the wicked and the strong and the sick as thieves. For the faceless fear that was never so near, too clear to misbelief. Well, the sea is jumping salty, and the porpoise has the blues. My recollection's faulty, and I cannot find my shoes. And my wiring is misfiring due to cigarettes and booze. I'm behind in my dues. I just now got the news. He seems to tell us lies. Still we will believe him then. Together he will lead us into darkness, my friend. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Man says stand to one side, son. We got to keep the big ball rolling. It's just a question of control. Then we take it from the top. We let it settle on down softly, like you'll gently fall in snow. Or let it tumble down and topple like the temple long ago. But let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall.
There are a great number of people in this country that would prefer that I do resign. There are a great number of people in this country that didn't accept the mandate of 1972. After all, I know that most of the members of the press corps were not enthusiastic, and I understand that about either my election in 68 or 72.
Two kinds of people in this world. Winners, losers. I lost my power in this world, 'cause I did not use it. So I go insane, like I always do. And I call your name. She's a lot like you. Two kinds of trouble in this world. Living, dying. I lost.
when you say, do I consider resigning? The answer is no, I shall not resign. I have 3.5 years to go, or almost 3.5 years, and I'm going to use every day of those 3.5 years.
Whether you get up early on Saturday morning or stay up late on Friday night, we have good news for you.
Back of the Book, the only radio program that has endorsed hell, will be there for you every Saturday morning at 5 a.m.
Regular listeners will no longer have to figure out which Saturday morning is the alternate one. Back of the Book, every Saturday morning at 5, only here on WBAI New York.
This is Bobby Humphrey.